Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, although during these challenging times in our nation and world, we unfortunately are not able to gather together for worship, we know that our Lord is still with us and he still comes to us through his word. And we thank him that we are still able to move forward in our ministry, though in some different ways, and to share his word of grace and peace and love and forgiveness with you. We also want to encourage you, if at all possible, to continue to send your tithes and offerings to church, that the mission and ministry of Trinity may carry on. Tonight, then, we go on with our Lenten theme of Fix Your Eyes on Jesus. And this evening, we focus on murderous eyes. I want to share with you a reading from the Passion of our Lord, as recorded in the 14th chapter of Mark. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the feast, let there be an uproar from the people." And they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.' Yet even about this testimony, it did not agree." And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But he remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." And the guards received him with blows. This is the word of the Lord. If looks could kill, can you picture eyes that are filled with rage? Possibly you've seen it in the eyes of someone else. Perhaps you've seen it also at times on your own face. In the ancient world, and still today in some cultures, the evil eye is a glance that is thought to cause harm to the recipient. That's kind of how I envision the eyes of the chief priests and scribes and the Sadducees and Pharisees as they plotted Jesus' death. They were filled with hatred and murder as they watched Jesus being greeted with praise as he entered Jerusalem on a donkey at the beginning of what was to become the most important week in the history of the world. If they could have spewed venom or shot arrows from their eyes at the Lord, they would have done so. And their hatred intensified during the week as Jesus spoke some very harsh words to them. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," Jesus said. Not exactly the kind of things to say if you're trying to win friends and influence people. But these were words that the chief priests and scribes and Sadducees and Pharisees needed to hear. Those harsh words from Jesus were actually spoken in love. Just as the stern words that parents speak in disciplining their children are spoken in love. God never speaks the law to us in hatred or animosity, but only because we need to recognize our sin and be led to repent of that sin. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," said Jesus, "for you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets.' Thus you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measures of your fathers." Jesus wanted them to recognize their hypocrisy and to repent. He wanted to bring them face to face with the murder that lay in their hearts under their excuses of honoring the murdered prophets and behind their declarations of, "We wouldn't have done what our fathers did." But multi-generational guilt is real. It is real when the sons of the fathers lack repentance. And so Jesus challenges them and in effect says, "I know your hearts. I can see the murder in your eyes. Go ahead, walk in the steps of your fathers. Why don't you go ahead and kill me too and continue with your family tradition?" "There's nothing new under the sun," said the preacher in Ecclesiastes. Murderous thoughts and looks are as old as the fall into sin. Cain's downcast eyes became murderous toward his brother Abel. The cause of murder is always the agency of man, but the original source is the devil, who Jesus says was a liar and a murderer from the very beginning. St. John says that the murderer Cain was of the evil one. And in addressing the Jews who wanted to kill him, Jesus identifies Satan as the father of all who hate God's Son. But how does that pertain to us, you might ask? Aren't John and Jesus just wailing on Cain and on the murderous Jews? Surely the Lord is not talking to us pious Christians, is he? Well, let's listen to his word. His apostle John writes, "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." And a bit later, John adds, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen." Just follow John's logic here. If I claim to love God while hating my brother, I am both a murderer and a liar, and cannot love God. And if I don't love him, then I must hate him. Well, it looks like Cain and the hostile Jews, and all of us too, are in the same boat. Friends, let's not lie to ourselves. We have said in our hearts, if not with our voices, such things as, "I have reasons for hating my parents. I can make excuses for wishing that my brother was dead. I have good cause for casting an evil eye upon my neighbor." That's enough right there to make us murderers in God's sight and to place us under his wrath. The Jews filled up the measure of their fathers in tonight's Passion reading. And if we're honest with ourselves, we must see ourselves right along with those Jews. How incredible it is then that the Father would allow his Son to be murdered at the hands of sinful men, just to save a bunch of rotten, rebellious sinners with eyes filled with rage against God and man. Paul explains it this way in his letter to the Romans: "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. The wrath of God is not a murderous glance from the Father, but it is a look of righteous judgment upon the guilt of sin. We all deserve God's wrath, just as much as we deserved our parents' punishment when we were kids. But instead of giving us what we deserved, God put it all on Jesus. And Jesus willingly took it for us and for our salvation. From the cross, Jesus looked upon the masses of humanity and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Original sin, which produces lies, hatred, murder, and every other sin, is so deep a corruption that we cannot recognize the evil of what we think, say, and do unless it is revealed to us by God's word. But once our murderous eyes have looked in horror on what we have really done, nailing the innocent Son of God to the tree with our sins, then we also are ready for the joyful good news of the forgiveness of all of our sins for the sake of Christ's voluntary sacrifice at the hands of murderers, the death by which he has extinguished the wrath of God toward us. Again, we hear Paul once more in his letter to the Romans, For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let us then rejoice in Christ, who turned our murderous eyes away from sin and guilt and despair, and lifted them up to look upon himself as our Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.